Greetings, Salam again. Delighted to be here and happy to answer your questions. I'm not seeing anything yet, but let me take advantage of this time to speak about one question that I saw come in earlier on the pad, which was all the outputs and the inputs that you mentioned, where are they? So they are on GitHub, and this is in one of my slides. I mentioned the URL for it. I'll show you that as well. URL for it is GitHub BXPLPC 180.068, which is the handle for this talk. In there, you have all the PDFs and the HTMLs, a citation, a bib input, and also the sources. So if you were to go to the PDF, you will see both the article presentation and the Beamer. Let's take a quick look at the Beamer, which is what you have seen. As far as the sources are, there are two primary files. This presentation, left to right, is the one that includes all the LaTeX packages. We might as well take a quick look. So what's in there is primarily the use packages, and then it dispatches to BodyPress art, and this is where the code is. And I walked through this briefly. So notice here again that this is a mixture of LaTeX and org. And each of the presentation slides are here. For example, my introduction is just a video that gets included. And then the notes that I use, the voiceover, is also included in the LaTeX file. Let me...
It'll probably be easy to take those voiceover notes and then align them with Aeneas to make subtitles for your videos.
Exactly, and that is what I do. So there is a way to gather them all as pinotes. And so all the pinotes get together in a single file, and then you feed that to Aeneas, and it will align them. And then there is the work of using your subed to get the right sort of line length on them. But you did all of that for me this year, Sasha. Thank you very much. It was just a matter of not having time. Otherwise, I plan to do it myself.
Well, no, it's all right. It was very easy since you provided the full narration. I find that Aeneas still, I still need to tweak it sometimes. So I often use the waveforms in SubEd to find the right starting time and ending time for things. But it is so nice to have, you know, a presentation where you can experience it in different forms, as an article, as a video, as, you know, as a post with links and everything. Very handy.
Right. And in case a teacher uses this for class lectures, then the student profits from all sorts. The article presentation format is very useful for a student to add their own notes to it and the rest. Exactly as you said, having multiple forms is great. Video has its place, reveal has its place, PDF has its place, article has its place. All of them work together.
I've been having a hard time figuring out how to make the Reveal.js version of a presentation more easily distributable, though. This is something we've had a hard time with in the past too. You have these lovely Emacs Conf presentations that could be Reveal presentations, but hosting them doesn't quite fit in the usual assumptions people have.
Exactly. So if we were to have a Reveal server, then we could upload our Reveal inputs to it. But you're right, we should look for some sort of a packaging that is more plug and distribute. I'll be all game if we wanted to do it for next year. I'll be happy to provide all the Reveal outputs. In fact, they are here. Let me touch on that quickly. Good point you brought up. So this is the Reveal output. So all of these, you see the images and the audio in my own environment are symlinks to where I keep them. So those need to come in, but the Reveal output really comes right here. And this is how
maybe
it looks.
If that's a link you can add to the pad, then I can add it to the top page afterwards. I think as a speaker, I tend to just self-host the thing. And that way also, if I find a bug, which often happens, I can go and quietly update it.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah, this right now, what we are looking at is from GitHub. And the audio and the images, of course, are large, and I did not upload them, but I can send them, sure. So a few other things maybe I can elaborate on. This is the bootstrapping page for BySauce. Also on there. And if somebody wanted to actually dig deeper and go through this, a good starting point would be my GitHub page. But my GitHub page is not done and organized the usual way. So I only have three repositories, and the repositories basically say, here is where you need to go. So all of my work is organized in as organizations. So for example, for Emacs, if you were to go to BXBLE, you will see all the relevant repos for that purpose. So for example, if you wanted to come and take a look at mail templating distribution and tracking, you would get a Emacs package ready to go over here. But again, all of this is through the use of GitHub organizations. So my repos are by subject, and the BySauce itself is has 69 repositories where different sections of it are packaged as pip packages. So for example, for LCNT, we can go there. So these are the packages that let you
dissect. You have your slides. Sorry, you have your slides shared at the moment, so I don't know if you're in a different tab.
Oh, yeah. Am I in a different tab? I thought that would follow me. Yes, I am in a different tab. Let me see. This is the one that you are seeing. So let me go over here.
Perfect.
Now you're seeing it. So
literally on the same page. Awesome.
Right. So you were not actually seeing what I was saying. So what I was saying that is that if you go to my primary website, GitHub page, you will see that there are only three repos there. And those repos just give information about where the real repos are. And the real repos are organized in various organizations. So for example, for Emacs packages, I use the BXBLE, and in there are 40 repositories. And as an example, you can choose, for example, AI Plus is just a few additional libraries for menus for Adermax. And the rest of BLE is done that way as well. So if you were to, let me also show more relevant stuff to the content generation. Everything related to Bisource in Python is in Bisource pip. These are packages that are ready to be exported to PyPI. And for example, for LCNT, if you go here, let's go to the bin directory. These are the utilities that dissect the PDF output of Beamer, convert it to images so that you can insert them in Reveal. And then again, if you were to just wanted to dig deeper in any of these as components, you would simply start from this top level page and explore the organizations. So in total, maybe there is 300 repos, but they are organized by subject matter within GitHub organizations. Yeah. One additional general comment. If you were to look at my presentation, I'd say I touched on five different topics. So one topic was this content generation in general. The second one was this challenge of DIY model and recipes versus building something large and including everything in it. And that has been the motivation for Bisource and BLE. And I'm interested in getting feedback on it. In general, the open source culture has been focusing on components, and large American corporations have focused in integration of these components. So my short message here is that we should start thinking as providing solutions as opposed to minor pieces and packages, and put them all together and claim them as our own digital ecosystem. And this is the concept behind Bistar, Bisource, and BLE. The third point I was making throughout is this concept of dynamic blocks everywhere and Comiga, which is the inverse of Babel. And I'd also be interested in feedback on those. I think the D blocks everywhere concept, I can very quickly show that. It would be in the LaTeX file as an example. I didn't really do a good job in digging deeper into that. So if you go to the sources and you look at any of the slides, all the slides are in here inside of a dynamic block. This is an org D block, but you would invoke it in LaTeX mode. And then from this beginning to this end, everything is auto-generated through the ELISP function body MM video. And the parameters that it takes are the video pass. So all of this code is repeated all over the place, and all you need in it is the video pass. So it's very easy to think of this as a macro capability, except that the macro is visible. And it has one additional benefit on top of general macro capabilities, and that is that it's open. In this particular case, it closes, but let me show you another one where it is open. So if you look at, this is LaTeX section, this one is good. This is a derived image. And by saying that it's open is that you see my begin verbatim and my begin frame, they end and there is no closing for them. So the extra text that is outside of the D block and closes it is down here. And none of the existing macro capabilities gives you this feature. This even comes handy in Lisp. That is a proposal saying that let's make D blocks, dynamic blocks, generalized to all of Emacs as opposed to just org mode. And that's relatively simple. And the Emacs source team could easily decide that this is worthwhile doing. And then Comiga, of course, I've gone over it through the presentation. So I see one question coming in. What changes have you seen the culture while developing all these things like Liber Halal system and now BLC and now BLCNT? Well, it's a work in progress, I would say. We learn from one another, and what I am doing may be considered just a stepwise increment, but the cultural input is that we really should start thinking about providing solutions as opposed to packages. The FOSS culture is really limited in its scope to packages, or even if when you think something very large like Debian, which is a collection of packages, it is still choice oriented as opposed to solution oriented. Yeah. Are there any additional topics or questions? Otherwise, I'll just add a few additional concepts. So the two other points made throughout the presentations are that this statement about clear invalidity of the Western IPR regime. So throughout the FOSS movement, we have been focusing on providing alternative licenses which coexist with the IPR system. And that is the practical thing to do. We are doing a jujitsu on IPR. We are saying that this is our license to it. But conceptually, there has been little discussion and also positioning on this basic question as to whether or not copyright and patents are valid or invalid. And what I am saying is that it is clear that they are invalid, particularly once you start looking at them with the lens of polyexistentials, and that the FOSS movement really needs to combine these two, this notion of free software and open source licenses, and combined with the belief system that we are completely and utterly against the validity of the Western intellectual property rights regime. And I use the Western and the American occasionally, and the reason behind that is that, in fact, it is, they are Western. If you go to any other language, if you go to Farsi, if you go to Arabic, if you go to Chinese, if you go to Japanese, which are non-Western cultures, the concept of intellectual property, the words, the vocabulary of those combination of intellectual and property did not exist anywhere in those cultures. It's only in the past maybe 60, 70 years that they have been translated from the Western world and brought into it. So there is an inherent root into the intellectual property rights system, which goes to the Western culture. The second point that I have brought in into this presentation and the previous ones is this question of if we go with free software, if we go with open software, are we really creating the right labels? And my point is that no, neither of them, neither free software nor open source, are capturing really the essence of what we are trying to do. And I claim that that is, in fact, ethics and morality. And it is societal belief that if we reject intellectual property rights regime, what do we replace it with? And in my thinking is that a software developer does not get to choose what license goes with his or her software, and that the equivalent of Afero GPL is the default correct license to use for all of your software, because it is the one that reflects the belief system that all software should be ethical software. Yeah, I'm looking at the Etherpad again, and the question is about IP and AI. So yeah, over the past 2 years, something huge has happened. What I am seeing in there as a solution is essentially comes down to a talk that was given maybe 2 years ago by someone at EmacsConf, and its label was attribution-based economics. So in my thinking, intellectual property as a whole is invalid, but that means that through something like Afero GPL, you focus on attribution basing, proper attribution basing. If somebody has done some work, it should be clear, no matter what, that work is his, and that we already, even prior to AI, we were seeing this. We were seeing large GitHub repos with hundreds of authors, and it was utterly unclear as to who would own this whole thing. And any piece of it is not of significance. What is of significance is the whole thing. So moving towards that attribution-based economics is key. And then once we do that, and then AI, we accept AI as a reality, AI should still take very seriously and conform to attribution-based economics. In other words, what is generated by the machine should not be claimed to be no one's or the machine owners, the AI owners. It should still clearly be attributed to the people who contributed in its creation. This all becomes very muddy, very clear, and I don't have a simple or clear answer to it, but the perimeters of the solution lie in rejection of intellectual property, replacement of the intellectual property with attribution-based economics, and restrictions on AI use of not properly attributed content. Yeah, I'd say that would be, it's a complicated topic, and I would simply say I haven't figured it out at all. I just have a perimeter set of concepts that can be used to drive it. Are there any other questions? If there aren't any, I thank everybody again, and particularly the EmacsConf organizers and Sasha. And I look forward to continuing all of this next year. Unless there is any objection, I'll leave the session and close it. Thank you.